This week on RSBNB Update, Earth joins us as we talk about Double XP Live improvements, his thoughts on Desperate Measures, and the lore Q&A. And then we theorize about how Guthix knew about Shadow Anima and what a ban on TikTok could look like. This is RSBNB Update, episode 789, recorded Thursday, August 6th, 2020. The puddings and the details. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. And, you know, this week it's the middle of summer. Depending on your definition of that, depending what continent you're on, of course, but that's not what I want to talk about right now. I'm flying solo this week, because Tanis is off at some lake, Sirion's away, and, you know, I figured after last week's quest episode, I better just sit in and do a podcast episode on my own. No, folks, that's actually not happening. Earth is here joining me for this episode of RSBNB Update. Welcome back, Lord Earth in game.
Hello, I just wanted to see where you were going with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you keep on going.
Yeah.
And there you went.
And see, that's the thing. On my other show, Patrick will normally stop me if I keep talking and not introduce him. But I figured that would be a fun joke to play here nonetheless. But anyways, we're about to begin another Double XP Live event in RuneScape starting in just a few hours here from recording. It'll be well underway by the time you guys are hearing this. And that's what this week's Ninja Strike focused on. But of course, in addition to that, we have patch notes, and we're going to talk a little bit about Desperate Measures, including the lore Q&A that they put out this week. And we're going to get your opinion on some of the aspects of the quest, because you did the quest and you told me it was a textbook case of a quest and why you play RS. So we'll get to that all in good time, of course. But starting off with our patch notes this week for this Ninja Strike for Double XP Live, the people who have been constantly asking for more in terms of Double XP Live functionality are getting a timer that you can pause. Previously, it would just tick down from 48 hours. And now, you know, if you don't want to use any of it, just hit that pause button as soon as you log in. Or maybe you want to go bossing for a few hours, just hit that pause button. It won't tick down after that. And the whole idea behind this is to just allow a little bit more downtime to make a lot of 48-hour entitlement, as they call it, feel less wasteful in that regard. And, you know, I'd be interested to see what happens at the end of this, because, you know, you're going to have people who are just going to pause it straight off the bat. It'll be interesting to see how many people actually do that and use it as a way of just opting out of Double XP, which I think might tell a different story. But perhaps we're just looking at this from a colored perspective. Do you plan to use the timer at all?
Timer
reset or pause feature?
Yeah, if I'm around, I'd definitely pause it. That's this upcoming weekend, right?
Yeah, now 7th through the 17th. Yeah, 48 hours.
Oh, right. They made it. Mm-hmm. It's not just a weekend anymore. Well, if I'm around, probably, but this upcoming week is going to be fun for me, but we'll get to that at the end of the show.
Yay! And
so,
go ahead.
If I'm there, I'll use it.
Yeah.
I'll pause it, because I felt, like, stressed during the last one if I... because I used all 48 hours of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you're probably training archaeology at that point in time, and it was like, okay, maybe I should be saving this for when we go dungeoneering or something to that effect.
No, I get that was the weekend I got like $7.99s, remember?
Yeah, that actually surprised me. That's why it wasn't forefront in my mind here with that, because, yeah, you know, for the longest time, you just had that untrimmed 99 farming cape, and you added magic to it last year.
Still have it.
Yeah, yeah, that's something I you're always going to be able to hold over me. You have a damn mm-hmm. keepsake for that that I've mm-hmm. lost.
Bought that just for you.
Yeah, well... keepsakes weren't around back then, and you know, if I could bring one thing into RS, that would be it, a way to go back and get your untrimmed 99 cape. But there's actually an interesting aspect to the timer pause feature, and that's that if you press the pause button, it pauses it for an hour.
And yeah, and you can't unpause it for an hour.
When you resume it, you can't repause it for an hour, but you can pause it and then unpause it, but you won't be able to activate the pause feature again for 1 hour spent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, that makes a lot more sense.
And part of that is just a problem with the way I orated there and the way it came out.
No, that's how I read it when okay. I initially did, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Although I read that like 2 days ago.
Right, and if you go down to the full Ninja Strike notes, it says when resuming the timer, there's a cooldown of 1 hour spent in game before being able to pause again. So there's
yeah, that was I just misread it, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And here's another interesting one. When paused, double XP is not applied, of course. But otherwise blocked training methods are reactivated. So this is your alters and whatnot that you wouldn't get the extra XP on double XP weekend. It would re-add those in as well. The double XP timer will no longer disappear and become unavailable after the player has used up their double XP time. And also with this, once your timer ticks down to there being less time left in double XP than your timer has, your timer will update accordingly, which it previously did before. So don't think that you're being robbed of your double XP in that regard. And, you know, I know there were some efficiency players out there that were hoping that it would be effectively a free timer so that, you know, you'd be able to flash on and flash off the timer, just like they used to do prayer flashing in order to get the XP only for the tick. But, you know, I think that'd be a little too far. So I think we balance the edge of sanity on this one. Proteins have also been improved so that they're...
What?
Proteins?
Protein?
Yeah, protein packs, like protein skilling packs.
Like a steak?
Like the protein hides. And the protein energy and the protein cogs. Is that not the way it's supposed to be pronounced? Protein?
I've always read it as protein.
All right.
But...
And I
guess nothing else, I think the emphasis should be on a different part of it, so you're not saying protein.
Well, you know, I like taking shortcuts in the way I speak from time to time, so we'll just leave that at that. But they said it was a little bit too clicktastic for their own tastes. Now, proteins, as you say... portable skilling packs and skilling dummy crates now stack in your inventory with other packs of the same type and size, and there's now also a use-all checkbox on the interface. Other improvements include a Do Not Ask Me Again option when smithing that instantly opens the Make X interface for protean smithing. Various improvements have been made to the messaging displayed when converting them, and protean power-ups now have an Activate 1, Activate X, and Activate All option for them. Then it comes to everybody's favorite part of double XP weekend or double XP live, portable skilling station improvements, where you go to Burthorpe and you find the most toxic RuneScape players that are out there in general. I mean, let's be real, the portable world is pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, previously it was difficult to determine the amount of time left on a portable, which in turn made planning skilling activities around them a little bit tricky. It was also difficult to say thanks to players who operated or extended the portables, making it feel like a bit of a thankless task as opposed to community-oriented activity it was meant to be. So the examine text will now include the time remaining, the owner's in-game name, and the in-game name of the last person to extend the timer.
Nice.
And you know what the fun part is? Back when I was training Herblore, I was always the one that was providing the portable skilling stations at Prif.
Oh, of course you were.
Yeah. Yeah, and I even extended them, too. So, there's that. Combat dummies have been improved as well. The melee, magic, and ranged combat dummies have now been combined into a single all-purpose dummy.
The what? Ranged and magic?
The melee?
Melee.
All right, I'm not giving up on that one. And when used, you'll be asked what kind of dummy you'd like to deploy.
Dummy.
Skilling dummies of the same type now also stack in the inventory as well. And then, just to top this all off, familiars have been hidden in 8 additional areas, including the Hall of Memories, the Shanty Pass, the Artisan's Workshop, the Inner Ring of the Varrock GE, the Deep Sea Fishing Hub, the Burthorpe Bank, the Well of Goodwill, and inside the Keeps of Clan Citadels. And that's Ninja Strike 9. Perfect for double XP week. And we're going to move on into the general patch notes right now. There's some changes and fixes for Desperate Measures. First, Thok and Hanabis will no longer appear multiple times during a sequence in Desperate Measures. I don't know what sequence that could be talking about. Charost no longer incorrectly starts dialogue that should have only taken place in the Anachronia base camp. And selecting a preset in Bank no longer disables the Scarab's communion boost granted by the Desert Pantheon aura. And finally, dinosaurs have stopped shaking while walking, thankfully.
Isn't there a big crashing issue, too?
Yeah, that was with cutscenes.
Yeah, did that get fixed this week or last week?
Let's see. If we look at the hot fixes, we'll see if that was in there. Something tells me...
Was this just released last week?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, because...
There's nothing in the hot fix about...
It's a bit wonky for me right now.
Oh, I think it is for all of us in that regard. It's already August. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, nothing in the patch notes about the crashing and cutscenes, so we'll be keeping our eye out on that one. Did it crash for you when you were doing the quest?
Not even a single time.
Good. Did you have any problems with the measure?
Yes, I did. I had to log out and log back in because the last one wouldn't take.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Then some improvements to Elite Dungeons. The Black Hands of Zautak's defense has been slightly reduced during the encounter with the Blackstone Dragon in the Dragonkin Laboratory Elite Dungeon. I did have a chat with David on this one in terms of how much this was going to be having an impact on the fight, and he said it likely won't have too much impact at all. But, you know, I think at any time we're... making it easier to get through one of these auxiliary mechanics of a boss fight is probably a good thing. Fire from the Blackstone Dragon fight in Elite Dungeon 3 no longer causes damage after the encounter has concluded.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because, you know, we've all seen cases before where you get hit with dragon fire and die after the event was over. Edward, the Wilderness Cape Seller outside of the Dragonkin Lab, now allows you to bank while in combat. And mopped up some blood in Astalarn's arena that could cause issues with targeted abilities such as Bladed Dive, and change the blood in the Blackstone Dragon's arena into inactive scenery. That's interesting. I didn't know that was an issue, that there was such a thing as active and inactive scenery on that. But then again,
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. What I'm basically taking this as is that if you're using something like Bladed Dive and you used that ability and charged into this blood, it would deactivate it because there was some sort of, I guess, NPC aspect of it.
It would deactivate what?
Bladed dive.
Oh.
So if you had a bladed, if you were using bladed dive and you had, you know, three squares in front of you, one of these blood pools, it would deactivate it because it was active scenery rather than inactive scenery.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Combat dummies can now no longer also be placed inside Astorn's arena inside the Dragonkin lab. What?
It's just, why? Why would you do that?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But anyways, mobile fixes this week. A warning will now show in the Grand Exchange when attempting to sell items that exceed the total amount within the player's inventory. Mm. So I guess if you have 100 herbs and you try and sell 199, it will put a warning up that you don't have that many. That's interesting that something like that wouldn't be caught by the general client errors and needs to be something mobile specific.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because I thought it was using the same client and the same rendering throughout. It was just ported, and then if you did something on desktop, it would do the same thing on mobile, client-wise, but I guess not. Mobile players will now get a warning message when attempting to trade items that are untradeable. Made the World Select interface full screen and removed a white bar blocking the settings button on iOS. I don't know how I feel about this one, because, and I don't know if you have similar concerns with this aspect of the mobile UI, but whenever you pull something up, like, for example, teleporting with the Glory Amulet or using this World Select UI, it effectively blacks out the rest of your screen. And I feel like that's rather immersion-breaking because we don't have that on the desktop. We can still see the game behind us. And, you know, maybe they could do something a little
that
bit different than presentation.
The biggest issue I had with... Well, no, there were two issues I had with mobile. The biggest ones were that and Authenticator. But I think you said they were working into, like, Touch ID...
Yeah, that'll be something that'll come through. And if you use a sign-in with Google or sign-in with Apple, you won't need to authenticate like that. That's already in the stream, believe it or not, which, you know, makes a really good experience for anybody who downloads first time on the App Store. So
yeah, because that was just a pain.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, everything being blacked out in the background, definitely...
Yeah, those are called modal windows, design-wise. And, you know, I wrote this article a few months back. It was called How to Avoid a Mobile Fail. Because the sense that I get is that, you know, we're still on... They're still aiming to try and do a full commercial release of this thing this year. And I think we both agree that it's very performant. It works nicely. But... there's just so many little niggles here and there that somebody who is coming in from one of the app stores could potentially, you know, give it a low rating just because of these rough little things around the edges. And I really want to see them work on that. So I'm hopeful and optimistic that we can get there. And finally, modernize the presentation and position of the Shades of Morden minigame interface. Do you remember the last time you would have went there? Long time ago,
well,
right?
I guess relatively recently. It's one of my favorite mini games.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I had no idea. I think the last time I went there was to do some achievements.
I mean, it was... definitely when I was working on getting stuff from the shades, like the what are they called? The crypts or whatever down there.
Yeah, I'm
the keys.
Let's just call them
cremating
the
shades.
Yeah, cremating shades. You can tell how long it's been since we've been
there.
But it's important to do that because, you know, I think that's very entry to mid-level content, and somebody playing the game who picks it up on mobile is going to be seeing that in in a short order, so that's good.
Yeah.
Farming in Herblore, it's now no longer possible to use a bomb on a banker NPC. Instead, the players asked how many bombs they'd like to deposit. Yeah, because when you use a bomb and you click to use it on an NPC, your character throws it at that NPC, ordinarily.
What?
Are you marveling at the fact that something called bombs exists?
Yeah, what is that?
This is part of the 120 Herblore update that came out last year.
Terrorism?
No. Bomb potions. Bomb potions. The poison bomb, the sticky bomb, and the vulnerability bomb.
Okay.
The poison bomb poisons targets in a 3x3 grid. The sticky bomb roots them. And the vulnerability bomb casts vulnerability. In that 3x3 grid.
I see.
Yeah. That's what bombs are.
Okay.
Yeah, training Herblore is expensive on double XP weekend. Mm-hmm. Extreme potion timers can no longer be extended by logging out and back in again. You know, I always wonder with these, when somebody PVMing figures these out and says, oh, I better report this, and after, you know, you use it a couple times, that's a pretty big one.
Have you been using that, Shane?
No, I don't PVM, and I don't use extreme potions. It's pretty much overloads of some variety at this point in the game. Moving on to general other patch notes here. Clan Vexilims are no longer placeable on or next to archaeology deposit carts. It's no longer...
That's
important.
Probably ideal.
Yeah. It's no longer possible to spawn a duplicate Barrow's Brother by clicking on their sarcophagus as they die.
I feel like I accidentally did that years ago.
Yeah, me too. And then you wind up in the situation where you get duplicate Barrow's Brothers. And I'm wondering if this is the same bug that we experienced years ago, or if this is different in this regard. And you know, Barrow's is actually still really good money, because you can get that amulet for that one archaeology relic, the combat one. So, fixed an issue with virtual levels not providing fanfare, such as fireworks, pop-ups, and jingles when gaining XP. Players can no longer surge or escape while wearing bedsheets.
Very sad.
Yeah, we saw this one, didn't we? It was shown in our Discord by Zant. Found this one when he was doing that ghost quest. And oh boy, this looked absolutely hilarious, didn't it?
It did.
I'm gonna post his GIF here in the notes, and those watching on video will see this. But you see this ghost with its head just darting out whenever you surge or escape. It's absolutely amusing. So, you know, these graphical bugs are certainly, I'd imagine, a pain to fix, but boy, the players do enjoy them when we see them from time to time like that. The Zaros Godsword special attack description now correctly says that the black hole ability lasts for 20 seconds and not 30. Not too much else to mention here in the patch notes. Modeled light beams have been removed from the Fremenic Slayer dungeon as they were casting shadows. And this is how they would have done lighting and god rays back in the day. Resolved an issue in which players could become stuck when clicking out of dialogue while interacting with a pylon during the Desperate Measures quest. Yeah, I don't exactly know what that was about. And in the typographical fixes section, they say no typos were fixed this week. F-I-C-K-S-D. I found that amusing. Yeah. And then a couple of little hot fixes. All chat now displays correctly. Yeah, all chat was broken for some people last week, so that's good. And yeah, you had to go into the subchat windows to see what was being said. And transmuting ancestral...
Well, I guess I wouldn't see anything, because I wouldn't even know where to go to see that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And transmuting ancestral energy on the will now give 10 times the expected resources instead of 1 times the resources as it was giving. So there we have it. There's the patch notes for the week. Pretty good, I think. Not too many to write home about there on that front. But we're going to move on and talk a little bit here about Desperate Measures. So at this point, and for the lore Q&A, there will be spoilers. So fast forward about maybe 20 minutes or so if you don't want to hear spoilers for Desperate Measures. So you did this quest. You came back last week. You did this quest, and you know, you told me that this quest was the textbook reason of why you play quests in this game. And why is that?
Just the puzzles. That was, and I mean, it had the, you know, typical Jagex humor.
But, yeah, that was good. I mean,
the puzzles.
And I think
like
you're
having to figure out the what to put on the, what were they, the pylons in each room?
The pylons
and
you had to slap.
Use the little book that you found to figure out, and the hint in each one, to figure out which room was which, and then you could take that and use that to figure it out. It was, I loved it.
Yeah, and you know,
but it was odd decoration, though.
Yeah.
To have each room labeled. But, you know, I'm the willing suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. And
but it didn't bother me. I just thought it was funny just thinking about it.
And that was a whole environment that was built for this quest that is seemingly destroyed at the end of it. So,
seemingly.
Well, I mean, the volcano erupted and we had to get out and the ceiling came down on top of us.
Nah, wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe we might go back in there with archaeology at some point. But, you know, overall...
Mike, write that down! Write that down!
And, you know, the quest starts off with a Fox Saga. And I mentioned that when I saw this, that we were going this direction, I thought, oh boy. You know, going back to the Dungeoneering Sagas of old, those were, you know, some of the roughest content.
Of old?
Yeah, they're from like 2011, 2012, those Dungeoneering Sagas.
Hey.
So I thought, oh, maybe these are, you know, not going to be good because those ones are so rough. But I enjoyed the saga. What did you think of Thok's saga in this quest?
It was Jagex humor. I was afraid I was going to have to sit there and fight stuff and just wait. But, you know, he insta-killed everything, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, because, you know, I think we can all agree is that unless it's a boss to culminate the quest or there's a lore reason for doing it, quests should be relatively straightforward and allow you to progress through them and focus on the story aspect of it, not needing to, you know, worry about what you're doing for combat at X, Y, and Z, so to speak. So I think the saga was a good way of doing that. And, you know, you of course mentioned the Thok humor and whatnot as well through numerous points. One thing I didn't look at during that portion of the quest, and I should have, and it's in the Clan Quest playthrough on it, the exam info in there, is also something that we circled back on after
the show last
week.
You've run an RS podcast for how long?
Years.
And you don't right-click examine every single clickable object in the game world?
I stopped doing that when they stopped putting interesting examine info in.
How do you know that they stopped putting interesting examine info in if you stopped doing it?
Because a number of years ago it ceased to be interesting, so I stopped.
Your loss.
I know, and definitely should do in this quest. Now, of course, we also have You Are It and The Needle Skips, all tying into Desperate Times and Desperate Measures now. And inside this saga, we of course learn of Carapak using the needle to bring Hanachronia forward in time, which was something we theorized here on the show. You have any thoughts on that? Time travel to RS?
I mean, it makes sense for what it is. As much as time travel ever makes sense. It didn't bother me. I'll say that. And time travel usually does.
Yeah, and I think we all learned, or rather there were theories about it, and we were all very happy to have this confirmed and, you know, see exactly where this went with that. Other things I wanted to ask you about were the new Dragonkin factions, in particularly the Noden and the Agra, in addition, of course, to the Dactyl and the Necroserts, which were the two we previously knew of.
And so one of those is the sleepy one, and did we learn anything about the other one?
No, I don't think we learned much
really,
about the
other than
about
that
the
they
Agra.
Exist.
Yeah, no. But the Noden were,
I thought it was
were
interesting.
The sleepy ones. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is a huge opening for the archaeology skill because they do plan to do the Orthon dig site on Anachronia. And it's got to be about Dragonkin at that point, right? So that's a huge lore expansion that we can look forward to in that regard. And, you know, I think I remember. Was it One of a Kind that you were on the show with? And we theorized back then about what the Dragonkin were actually up to in that quest. And we've obviously moved well beyond that. And this ties into the next thing that we found as a central theme in Desperate Measures, and that was that everything seemed to be built around the matter of perspective of somebody telling the story, whether it be Thok Saga or the dreams that we were witnessing. Was that a theme that you picked up on as well?
Remind me what which one of a kind is.
That's the Dragon Rider quest.
I might have been on that one. I do see what you. I did pick up on that, yes. And I mean, one of them even said, Hannibus, I think, said something in the quest about, just take note, there are probably biases here or something. I don't remember the exact line, yeah. But, like, he even pointed that out.
And then the thing that brought up to us, and I think we're not going to have the answer up until the next quest comes out, is which one of these factions were right in the way that they handled this. Obviously, Carapak is, you know, he looks insane, but
did nothing wrong.
But he's not, and did nothing wrong. That's exactly the path I was going to go to with that.
No.
Because what he did made sense to him, I think.
I mean, that's if you write a villain and they don't believe that they're the hero of their own story, then you're a bad writer.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
Yeah. So I'm glad you picked up on the matter of perspective thing as well. And do you think that, you know, one of the complaints and that we heard with Desperate Times is that we were seemingly along for the ride with what Carapak was doing? And we had no control over it, do you think that we've finally, you know, effectively gotten to the root of the matter in terms of what we saw in Desperate Measures?
I don't remember enough to really answer that.
All right. Fair enough. And Desperate Times was a long time ago, honestly.
Yeah.
The only reason it's fresh in my mind is because I did make that video previously on Desperate Times, which anybody who hasn't done Desperate Measures yet should absolutely go have a watch at youtube.com/RSBNB.
Nice plug, Shane.
Thank you. All right. Shadow Anima, what'd you think of that?
I get it, and it makes sense why, you know, it got infused with us and why that works. It's an interesting way to explain what happened.
Yeah, because
I'm curious to see more.
With the measure, you know, when Charles is trying to open the door to Carapax's lab, he says that, you know, everything is fine until you come around. And then that's when you mm-hmm. realize that you're infused with this. And nobody at this point seems to know exactly what the hell's going on with it. And if it's all good. And, you know, it says Shadow Anima, so there's obviously some question about that. And, you know, we opined heavily on that last week. Do you want to take
Isn't
any...
Isn't there a Dark Anima core? Isn't that an item in Rifdinas?
I think you're right. Yeah,
is
Dark
that related at all?
No, that's weird. I search for Dark Anima Core and Dark Animica comes up. Which is, of course, the rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be a bit of a problem with the RS Wiki search. I search for Dark Anima Core and it goes to Dark Animica.
Dark Anima Core.
Oh.
Not or. Sorry. Didn't enunciate that.
Dark.
Enunciate? Is that the right word?
Yeah. Not dark, not fark.
God.
I can't type. Yeah, I search for Dark Anima Core. It goes to that, but I swear it's an item as well.
Hold on. Let me look at this. Ugh.
Dark Anima Core, maybe? I don't know. And, you know, we've obviously seen other examples of shadows before, from the shadow realm to the ancient magic spells that are obviously based around, you know, ancient Zarosian shadowsy things. There's also the Dark Lord that we saw in Prif. We've seen probably Dark Anima as well when it came to Elite Dungeon 2. We've seen that the gnomes have been corrupted with some kind of shadow energy as well that could be related to this. And there's just so many different areas that this could be pulled from on that. And that's why it's such a interesting topic to discuss on it. If you had to take a guess...
It's armor. That's what we're thinking of. There's Dark Anima, or there's Anima Core Armor or something.
Oh, okay, fair
maybe
enough.
There's... Yeah, I think that might be it. I don't know. I could have sworn that was an item, though.
Yeah, there is something called an Anima Core.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what you're thinking of. If you had to take a guess...
Sorry.
If you had to take a guess, what's going to come from Shadow Anima in the subsequent quests?
It's going to be turned against us somehow. Turn a strength into a weakness.
And then maybe the World Guardian isn't all he's meant out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or all they're meant out to
because
be.
Because you know that if a couple people know, then now everybody gonna know. And, you know, our entire existence irritates some people. So,
like the Elder Gods.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell Saren at the end of the quest about the Dark Anima or Shadow Anima secret?
I did.
Yeah. And, of course, she says that, you know, this entire group will be along to help you. And, you know, one thing I've been thinking of following this from the quest is, what if at some point in the future, this kind of allows the World Guardian to be taken over by a negative force, and the World Guardian effectively becomes almost like a villain, so to speak.
Ah, the old Kingdom Hearts approach.
Yeah, and you know, we looking back on Desperate Times, that's exactly what happened in Desperate Times. But we went along with it, and we didn't know why we were going along with it.
Could they have planned this?
Yeah, and the only reason I say that is because one of the biggest things that Sirion complained about when Desperate Times came out is the player had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was felt like so out of character for the player. So that's why I went back to thinking, maybe this is tied to Shadow Anima. Who knew? Who knew? All right. Carapax Lab, any comments on that and the waking up of the Elder Gods or Elder Gods in general?
I mean, the whole lab area was extremely well done.
Yeah. Did you like the music track?
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect for that quest. And you know, shame it's destroyed, but...
it'll be back somehow.
Somehow.
Someday.
Because, you know, I think you wouldn't... You wouldn't put that much investment into that environment if you weren't going to use it again, I don't think.
Well, I don't know.
Would you,
though? I think they'll reuse some of the assets, certainly.
Okay, assets, sure. And
because a lot of the stuff in there, it looked new, but it was...
Right.
I mean, you can obviously repurpose it.
Repurpose it for the Orthon dig site and the like.
Yeah.
So... All right, I can get behind that. Did you tick off Jazz in your encounter with the Elder God?
No.
Okay, good. Neither did I. Neither did I. I had to ask somebody what happens when you do that, and the sense was that Jazz gets very angry with you, and then your character says you have a feeling of being torn apart and the entire world being torn apart, and you just respawn outside the... Outside the heart. So it's safe.
He kills you.
It kills you, but it's
and
a safe
the world.
Death. Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of just.
And the world.
And it kind of just rewinds a bit.
Hmm.
Try this again.
Hmm.
And, you know, I think.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean. They gotta let players have a little bit of choice in terms of pushing the limits with the Elder God, right?
I guess.
Yeah. All right. So you said you didn't have a theory going forward of what's going to happen with Shadow Anima, or no? You said that it was going to potentially come back and harm us in some way, right?
I mean, no. It would be it's a. Strength and people would find a way to use that, just to make it a weakness.
Okay. And, you know...
Or at least now that the source of it is known, circumvent it, right? So,
yeah. Is the source
The source
known?
Of the power. The source of the power,
okay,
I
the
mean.
Source of the power is known. Good. Good. Because we're still waiting for the source of the power of Shadow Anima, and that's one big question... that wasn't answered in the lore Q&A this week, which we'll get to right now. But, you know, you were our original quest correspondent, so to speak, here on the show. And I asked everybody last week, you know, to give a rating out of 5 on Desperate Measures. What would you have rated Desperate Measures?
5.
5, all right. We had 1 5 and 2 4s. We had 2... I forget why Diana rated it 4, but I rated it 4 because it just didn't move the world like some 5 quests I feel should. Why do you give it 5?
It's why I play RS.
That simple?
That simple.
All right.
The puzzles, the just sort of quirky. I don't know if quirky is the right word, but just the humor.
Yeah, the stories as well.
Like, I had a good time, and I wasn't irritated by anything, except the measure bugging out, but they fixed that.
It was a Mod Raven quest, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So that's why it had that extra little side of quirky thrown into it.
Yeah, maybe quirky is the right word.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. You know, anytime we get rave reviews on a quest like that, it's very, very good to hear. Anyways, lore Q&A this week. We had mods Jack, Stu, Rolly, Raven, and Chaosy with Mod Porky hosting. And a whole bunch of lore questions were answered. We're going to go through a few of them here, and if you want to see full notes on this stream, you can find those linked in our show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Starting off, one big general question, and you know, I think this is something we're all itching for here, and that's, will we see lore updates and other content aside from quests? And, you know, archaeology was the first to do this, and the short answer to that is yes. They said that the next Yak track will have lore content in it. And the compromise is that there will be some tasks that have lore as a reward in them, but once the Yak track is complete, everybody will be able to access that lore through a lore book or similar mechanic. And here's a big one. The next lore ramifications will be revealed through this Yak track, and it's going to be in-game permanently, because that's one of the many complaints they've had in the past. If they do a Halloween event, that lore doesn't stay in-game. And it's going to be an interesting experiment, because prior to archaeology, I think the really only way we brought lore into game was quests, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Aside from maybe a couple of off-Slayer journals here and there, so... Next, how far ahead are story plots planned? And, you know, people like to think that they're just firing from the hip, but they said that was the case in the past. The past storylines were unplanned and adaptable. Case in point being, you do a quest, the J-Mod leaves, they don't know how to continue the quest, as happened with the Plague storyline. But... for the past few years, fortunately, the story has been more or less planned out regularly, and right now, their story arc is planned for about 5 years in advance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The current plan featuring the Elder Gods and Karapag didn't feature Anachronia, but when Anachronia was added in, and it was brought forward as a piece of content, the existing story was adapted, so this would be the environment where it would take place. So they knew that Karapak would be the villain and it would work around the Elder Gods. They just didn't know it would happen on Anachronia. They have the finale in mind for how this is going to end. They have the plot points laid out for that. And the storyline following this one is also detailed as well.
Nice.
And then the storyline following that one is detailed, but not in as much detail. And, you know, we don't normally think about that with RS. We don't normally think of there being a huge, grand vision for the lore for the next year to 18 months or so. But, you know, based on this here, if they're planning 5 years out, I think that's something we can all be very proud of and very happy about with this. If it's going to, of course, be done to the same rigors we've seen over the last number of years. Because, you know, there's nothing... more annoying, in my view, of having to wait for the storyline to advance itself. So hopefully this means more concrete storylines. Has Full relocated to the volcano? And, of course, this is because of the huge eruption we saw at the end of Desperate Measures caused by the Elder God Full, who is effectively tied to, I guess you could call it, the volcanism aspect of Kilanor. And the answer to this one was that she went up, then down, and then went back to where she was napping previously. And then following from this, how did Full get from Karamja to Anachronia? because, of course, she rests under the Tsar city. The answer is that she swam through lava, but elder gods are creatures that can move through planets pretty easily. So there's really nothing to write home with on that one. What do you think of Ictlorin and Amisket?
I like Ictlorin. That one. I like him.
Because there was a question.
Like a pretty neat dude.
Because there was a question asked, are there entities in other worlds that fulfill the same roles, Ictlorin and Amisket? And the answer was that afterlife can actually vary between worlds, and it's not necessary for that world to have that kind of a god. They've also detailed plans for the Queen of the Ashes and the Kuramja gods, but the plans exist and they'll have their place when it's time to have it.
Hey, they finally confirmed that Jazz is the Java application server.
We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. But I wanna deal with the big one next.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I appreciate
that was
you.
Important.
I appreciate you having fun on that. In Desperate Measures, we found out about Shadow Anima, which is poisonous to the Elder Gods. And the question was, can we use it to kill the Elder Gods? And they said, you could if you wanted to kill all life on Gilinar. But you would need a much larger source of Shadow Anima, since Full basically headbutted Carapax's device and it did nothing to her. And there's no evidence in the quest that it would hurt the Elder Gods. It's more of just an annoyance to them. Yeah. So let's keep that in mind when we answer this next one, or talk about this next one. How did Guthix know about Shadow Anima, and how did he use it? And they were very cryptic with this answer. You know what the answer was? The answer to this question is in Desperate Times. That's all they said. So you know what I did, and it seems many other people did as well. Went back to the transcript of Desperate Times, and it comes down to the discussion of when Sliskay and Guthix are in the memory looking at exactly how the death of Guthix is going to go right before Sliskay kills him. Now, In terms of this glimpse back at the history, Guthix says, know this, my death will not bring you what you seek, but it must be done, and it must be by your hand. Sliskay says, if I gain nothing, what is the point? Guthix says, you will never be a god, but your hand will usher in the new age. With my death, the god shall return. And then Sliskay goes on to detail what happened in that arc. And Guthix then says, it is necessary for my death will be born another, one that the world needs more than me, a new guardian for this world, of course, referring to the world guardian yourself. But there's actually a really interesting part of this discussion here. And it's when they first interact with each other, Guthix and Sliskay. So that's detailing of the fact that, you know, you do this. If you kill me, you're effectively going to be allowing me to grant this power to somebody else who is going to be immune to everything that you're trying to do, the World Guardian. But before that, and this is the hint of Shadow, the only thing that's mentioned Shadow in this conversation before the stabbing, Guthix says, I know you are there, Sliskay. The Shadow Realm cannot hide you from me. Step forward, we shall speak. Quite perceptive, Guthix. Most people don't even have an inkling that I'm watching them. Not even the other gods. Now you know what the ramification of it, or the implication of this is, and this seems to have been confirmed in the RuneScape lore Discord channel in the Clan Quest and in the Clan Quest spoiler channel, is that when Sliskay stabbed Guthix, he used Sliske's connection to the Shadow Realm to siphon off some of that Shadow Anima to give to the World Guardian, to be the device that would protect the World Guardian from what Sliske is trying to do and what the gods are trying to do.
So when... So how long passed? Because didn't Sliske stab us at the end of Endgame?
He tried, but it didn't work.
I don't think that's right. I think he stabbed us and then, like, he died, right? And
yeah,
I seem to recall distinctly something like something about him inside us.
Yeah, it's like he's kind of, there's a chunk of Sliske inside of you. And maybe
what
that was...
That's it.
Huh.
Because he had to stab Guthix, and...
Right. But the implication from Desperate Times is that we got the Shadow Anima when...
It could have been a plan.
Yeah, I think it was a plan from when The World Wakes came out, honestly. Because Guthix infused us with that. And that's what it was said. Guthix grafted it to our soul. That was said in Desperate Measures. Now, I think what you said about the stabbing of Sliske at the end of Sliske's endgame is also important, because perhaps that provided some consciousness to the Shadow Anima bit that we have inside of us.
So, bold prediction, Sliske's going to come back, and it's through that bit in us.
That's made possible by the Shadow Anima that Guthix gave us. And that same thing is our protection against the gods and the
Voldemort
other gods.
Voldemort Horcrux style.
For those who don't know Harry Potter, please explain.
Okay, so Voldemort split his soul into multiple pieces seeking immortality, and one of them in the very end... So in order to do that, you have to kill something. So when he tried to kill Harry Potter as a child, it backfired because plot armor or whatever.
Right.
And, so a part of Voldemort's soul was infused into Harry Potter. And then in the end, you find out that, the part of the soul is in him, and, you know, he's able to be revived from a part of the soul, basically.
Oh, my.
So, mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I felt like Sliske was the jester.
I mean, there's no way that there wouldn't be a piece of him inside of
no.
us if he weren't coming back.
Right.
You don't write about a gun on a wall, and then if it doesn't fire in the second act, why are you talking about the gun? Like,
Good point. You know, and of course, looking back, those were some of my favorite aspects of Shakespeare, like that. So
that was Chekhov, but...
Well, close enough. Foreshadowing to that degree, right?
Well, it's literally Chekhov's gun.
I know. Okay, I think we've just discovered here the way this is all going to pan out, and I'm very pleased about that with your input. So to recap this for anybody who just wants the quick 30-second version, when Sliske stabs Guthix, Guthix uses that conduit to siphon off some Shadow Anima, grafts it to the player as a form of protection. Sliske tries to stab us at the end of Sliske's endgame. He fails, and it's perceived at the end of that quest that there's a part of him that's inside of you, and I think there's some interaction between the Shadow Anima that Guthix grafted and that's stabbing at the end of Sliske's endgame that's providing consciousness to the voice that we have in our head at the end of that quest. And that's where
it's... Gothic's needed Sliske to get the Shadow Anima, because he could already see him, right?
Right.
So he's already aware of all of that. But other than that, yeah, that's what I'm going to stand by.
All right, fair enough. And, of course, we invite our listeners to iterate on this theory and see how it goes.
Hell yeah.
Next up, where did the Elder Gods get their names? The Elder Gods don't need names. They're very alien. And, you know, they said it could have been meant that Jazz was short for the Java application server that powered RuneScape.
So glad that they finally are acknowledging that, because... It's been known for years, but you know, I don't think they ever actually outright confirmed it.
Yeah, and now the question is, where do the other names of Ma, Ful, Wen, and Bic come from?
I think those were words of power from Skyrim.
Interesting.
I'm kidding.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we know Ma, Mother, of course. Not sure about the other ones. Did you notice when you were doing the quest that the vowel in the Dragonkin language is the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd like somebody to decipher that language. That'd be interesting, the way that what all those glyphs mean. And maybe that'll come in archaeology.
I mean, we did that.
Yeah, yeah.
To do the quest.
I know, but... Like, get to a point where you'd actually be able to read that language.
Oh.
Yeah. And perhaps that's a bit too much of an ask. Let's see. Is there anything else on this list of questions that were asked that you want to pop off here and talk about? I don't think there's anything else that I need to... mention here for this one. Maybe I'll just mention the Lord of Vampirium one. In Lord of Vampirium, Pomfy fell through a portal, and the question was, is he dead or is there a chance that the character in Velioth can go on a rescue trip into Vampirium to get him? And they said he's missing in action. He's not necessarily dead. It's just a loose thread that they could pick up on at some point in the future as well.
Remind me who that dude is?
Exactly. That's the exact same. I couldn't tell you his backstory. I just know that he was in that quest. But overall, I think this was a well done stream, and I appreciated having the Power Lore panel on there of Jax 2, Rolly Raven, and Chaosy Boy. That was a name butcher there on that front, but. That's it for the RuneScape section of the show this week. We're going to move on to our listener question in just a moment. But before we do that, I'll just thank our Patreon supporters for this episode this week in particular, as it's the first of the month. We do have a few others to thank. I'd like to thank Brock H., Cameron, Cass, CGB900, Christian S., Diana, Duramax, Jade Gizmo, Jade W., James W., Jason S., Jim M., Joe M., John P., boy, there's lots of J's there, Kevin G., Kyle, Nora, Rastafa, Ricky A., Rippeth, Samantha R., The Naked Captain, Lion, Tom V., Zachary K., Zant, and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us here. It allows us to do what we do here at RSBNB Update, and we're definitely going to be continuing on with this as we progress forward. Through the month, we have just announced, and our poll has just been completed for what our monthly bit for this month will be. And the monthly bit for the coming month will be a discussion on old school and what it means for RuneScape 3 and how it arrived. So that's going to be a fun one to record. We're going to dive into the foray of old school, which isn't something that we normally do here on this podcast, but old school is 7 years old now, so I think we can have a pretty good discussion about that. But of course, we also do have some other things. We have the Inside RSBNB Update blog post that will be going out in concert with this episode, and this will be text-based interview with Diana, our resident lore expert who was on the podcast last week. We'll have a bit of a discussion with her and what she thinks about RSVNB Update, what her favorite aspects are, and just get to know her a little bit more. We also do, of course, have the RSVNB Update Roundtable, which we'll probably be doing next weekend, tentatively, during Double XP Live. And, of course, we also have movie night. So if any of these sound interesting to you, you can sign up at patreon.com/RSVNB for as little as a dollar a month. You gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits. You get early access to our show notes. You get a mention in them. And, of course, you also help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSVNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll receive a special VIP rank on Discord, a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show as well. And we also do have a tier at $5 a month where you get a shout-out each and every week, and you'll gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. So if any of this sounds interesting to you, just check us out at patreon.com/RSVNB. Thanks so much, everyone. All right. Question this week from Mr. Ling. What are your plans for Double XP Live, and will you spend some time at the beach? Do you have any Double XP Live plans that you'd
love? I'm just going to kind of do what I can. But not anything in particular, no.
All right, fair enough. I'm kind of making a push for 105 archaeology at the point, so I don't know if I'll touch it in the first few days or so. But Dungeoneering, I think, is a good option as well. I know you and I were kind of talking with Trekkie on that front and maybe picking him up and seeing if he would be interested in doing some of that. So we might, you know, get together in RSVNB Dungeoneering group. So that is there. And, you know, I think we kind of like doing it on Double XP weekend just because, you know, is there anybody here who's really a fan of Dungeoneering? That's exactly the way I feel. Thankfully, I already have most of the buyables at 99 or 120 on that front, so I'm not necessarily too concerned on that. I don't have to do 99 or 120 herb lore, but I think for Double XP, if anybody does have those skills to do, that would be a pretty good thing to do. And of course, when it comes to spending time at the beach, yeah, you know, I really haven't engaged much with it this year, aside from the initial few days, because I was working on progressing towards 105 archaeology, and you know, I feel kind of iffy about that because the beach has been gone for 2 years almost at this point, that I feel like maybe I should be engaging more on that front, but I don't know. Nonetheless, we have until August 10th, so I mean, that's only a few days left at the beach, and I haven't even really interacted with it all that much, but in any case, is there anything you'd like to add on this one aside from Dungeoneering Earth before we move on?
Not really. I mean, beach isn't really my kind of place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you need the Bank of Shane to buy any buyables?
Not right now.
Sure. All right. Fair enough. I know that's something we did in the past, but nonetheless, thank you, Mr. Ling, for that question. I feel like a Double XP event would not be complete without a question of what we're doing. And I think the very fact that I'm doing archaeology still on it, and that we get so many of these Double XP weekends coming in and around, that just kind of shows that they're really not as special as they used to be. Is that the sense? That's probably the sense you got too on that, right?
Yes.
So, I think the best we could probably hope for is some group Dungeoneering on that front.
Woo!
All right, tech news this week.
I added something to this first item.
Thank you
for that. Because this happened Oh, thank, Mr. Siropyro.
Oh, this has happened?
All right. Signed executive order, yep.
All right, so let me just frame this for everybody here. Starting last week, there's been some talk in the United States about whether the U.S. government would ban TikTok, and there has been reports internally as well that Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella had a chat via phone with President Trump on this in terms of exploring a way for Microsoft to purchase TikTok and run it inside of the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And these negotiations with TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, was supposed to progress and move forward and come to a conclusion no later than September 15th. But I think we just got some news this evening that an executive order has since been signed that bans TikTok in 45 days if there's no deal, if I'm reading this correctly.
So how's that going to happen? That's what I don't understand.
One would think that the Google Play and Apple App Store would have to comply with this order and remove it from their app stores.
That sets a dangerous precedent, which I don't like.
It really does. It really does. Because today it's China, and there's no knowing who it would be next, right?
I don't like this one bit.
There's also the side of this that the U.S. government is asking Microsoft for a chunk of the deal to be paid to the U.S. Treasury on this. And we should say for our listeners, the whole reason this is happening is because ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok, is a Chinese company. And in general, if you're a large company in China, you do business at the pleasure of the Chinese government, which of course is the Chinese Communist Party, which many people aren't fond of in this day and age. And that's the whole logic behind banning something that's perceived to be a potential, and I underscore the word potential, security threat on that front. And, you know, you're entirely right. This doesn't fix the problem in one fell swoop, and it opens up a potential can of worms into what something like this could happen, or could happen with this in the future as well. This news story also says that the executive order partially also bans WeChat as well. And
I hate WeChat.
Yeah, it's basically the Chinese version of Facebook. That's what that is. And the executive order also bans financial transactions with their parent company, Tencent, which we've talked about before in tech news as the company that owns the Epic Games Store.
Yay.
I think we need some time to realize or to figure out what exactly is going to be happening, particularly on the Tencent side of this, and whether or not the companies, because, you know, let's be real here, the two biggest app stores out there are Apple and Google, whether or not they'll comply with this and how they can be compelled to do so in the precedent that it sets going forward on this. It's a very interesting time, I will say that.
Yeah.
We here, of course, at the podcast have talked about the various security issues with TikTok from when iOS 14 beta came out. It was revealed that TikTok was looking at users' clipboards. Another post was highlighted of a Reddit user that apparently reverse engineered the TikTok app that showed it was collecting much more data under the hood than was announced. So there are legitimate concerns about TikTok here, but as the saying goes, what's the saying? The evidence is in the details, or the pudding's in the details, or something to that effect?
The devil's in the details.
The devil's in the details. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure where pudding came in from, even though pudding is good from time to time, providing it's not tapioca. But
oh my God,
we're going to be having a big discussion on this in 45 days or so to see if this actually progresses forward or if Microsoft's idea of buying the app and operating it in the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand is going to be enough on this front. Okay. I'm trying to remember the last time I had a developing tech news story like this right on the show as we were recording.
When I yelled at you?
The episode was already in the can when you sent me that, so not really. That's, of course, referring to the Twitter hack, or social engineering scheme, as they called it. But if TikTok does get banned, there's a replacement for it, or a purported replacement called Instagram Reels.
It's bad.
All right. Why?
It's not the same.
Okay. Instagram announced Instagram Reels, which they say is a, quote, fun way to share videos with your friends or anyone on Instagram. You'll record and edit 15-second multi-clip videos with audio effects and new creative tools.
Bring back Vine.
Yeah, you know, that's the simple solution to this. And I said this last weekend when the idea of banning TikTok first started to gain steam, was that, you know, Vine was a really simple app. I said, you know, somebody could probably prototype something akin to Vine in a weekend or so and get the core functionality done. Granted, you don't have the network of it, but you could certainly prototype the functionality of the app in a weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, Vine was great. Like,
and now we have Instagram Reels. And doesn't Facebook also have a similar solution to this as well?
They own Instagram?
Oh.
That's their solution?
I thought there was going to be something that was in Facebook proper with this.
Probably.
All right. Apparently in the audio side of the Instagram Reels, you'll be able to search for a song from the Instagram music library. You could also use your own audio by just recording with it. You can use augmented reality effects.
This timing is a little suspicious.
Yeah, let's put the tinfoil hat on and, I don't know, do you want to say what's suspicious about it?
I mean, I think if anyone listening doesn't realize that.
Yeah, and the idea is, that I'll let you
handle it. The ban is happening at the same time this new feature happens to be revealed.
Which some people are asking questions if the U.S. administration is doing favors for Facebook. Which is an entirely different question in itself.
Very curious. Yeah.
Are you going to use Instagram Reels?
No.
Okay. I know you've been coy with me if you have a TikTok or not, but that's not a topic for this podcast, I don't think.
I have one.
Oh, do you use it?
I don't post anything.
Okay, fair enough. You know, there's a RuneScape TikTok now.
Okay.
I thought that was the sound of your mic dropping, but there is a RuneScape TikTok account.
I would never treat sound equipment that way.
I know. Right, you weren't around when we... Oh, don't go back and look at the teaser from a few weeks ago. You wouldn't like that. When Sirion and I did the show and we talked about the RuneScape TikTok. Did you see that teaser of what we did there?
Did you drop a mic?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
Do you want me to read it to you, what it said?
Yes.
All right. The title of the episode was Okay Zoomer with the teaser. And I didn't write this, so I don't get any flack for this, all right? Pull up as we discuss some dank pack changes, including improvements to treasure trails. Are they lit or big yikes? We also talk about how Hardcore Iron Man was yeeted from the game and share early thoughts on the beach.
I'm disconnecting you.
And folks, he actually did disconnect me there from Discord. And that was Sirion that came up with that teaser.
Can I ban him?
Please don't.
I can.
Don't do that. Anyways, we should move on.
Alan is extremely upset, and he says I should ban. So you're being outvoted.
Don't do that. Let's move on to our next piece of tech news. Updates on Google's work to improve user privacy in digital advertising. And I think we both agree that Google is the online ads company, right?
Yes.
They say there's over 15 million interactions per day with the Why This Ad feature on any Google ad that you see, and they recently extended this feature to ads on connected TVs. And over the next few months, they're going to be making improvements to the
ads on TVs.
Yeah, like on YouTube and whatnot.
Blech.
They're going to be making improvements to this feature, and it'll be rebranded to be called About This Ad, which will show the verified name of the advertiser behind each ad, and it will initially be available for ads purchased through Google Ads and Display and Video 360. And, you know, when you use About This Advertiser, you'll be able to block ads from – or, sorry, block that specific ad and report that ad if you feel it's not appropriate. And they say that this is all due to their commitment to increased transparency and whatnot. And as such, they've also brought out a new alpha extension in the Chrome Web Store called the Ads Transparency Spotlight that will show you more information about ads that you're viewing on your Google Chrome web browser. And, you know, it gets even better because Google is committing to kill third-party cookies and make it so that digital ads work nicely with the privacy sandbox that are brought forward in Google Chrome as well. And, you know, at this point, if you read this and you look at what Google has in their console for now having the option to delete all your history for after 30 days or 90 days or not even keep any of it at all, and also being able to have Google not track you and not offer personalized ads, I don't think there's really any argument that Google doesn't respect a user's privacy when it comes to advertising. Because you can have absolute privacy by turning the ads off with an ad blocker, even if you use Chrome, or if you want to allow specific ads through, you can still report those ads, you can still not have third-party cookies, and you can still opt not to be tracked. And I think this is the advent people have been waiting for a long time in online advertising.
I'm still using an ad blocker.
All right. What browser are you using in this day and age?
Brave.
Okay. And, you know...
Did you mean the advent, Shane?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Ad.
Oh, that was totally unintended.
Boo.
And we've talked about Brave on the show before, and, you know, Brave is, I think the best way of describing it is a web browser that's hyper-focused on user privacy, right?
I just had to get away from Firefox and didn't want to sell my soul to Google.
No, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But it is a good browser for privacy as well. So we always say here that if you're looking for something a little bit more privacy-minded than Chrome, look at Brave.
Or literally anything else.
Yeah, Firefox can be made to do that too. All right, that's it for tech news. We're going to move on now. We are running two Skill of the Month contests that have actually just started and are underway for Double XP Live. We have Slayer and Herblore. So we'll be seeing who can kill the most things and who can spend the most money.
Yay!
Which the Herblore contest really only has three competitors because somebody entered who already has 200 million Herblore XP.
Chad move.
So there won't be any more on that. But let's move on to some achievements. You want to start us off?
Sure. Schnett's got 99 defense on August 4th. Dom the Mexican got 99 crafting on August 3rd. Rastafa got 200 million ranged magic and prayer experience on August 3rd. Thieves got 120 archaeology on the 2nd. Bird is the Man got 99 constitution on the 1st. And Lady Claw got 120 archaeology on the 1st.
Nicely done, everybody. We also have Mike Strike 3 with 99 magic and 99 farming on the 1st. Nathan with 99 attack, finishing the 1st. Guy Lafleur with 99 thieving on the 31st. Rippeth with 99 magic, also on the 31st. Daydreamer with 99 hunter on the 30th, as well as Mike Strike 3 with 99 ranged. And then, ending the 30th and our achievements of the week, we have VI Nightshade with 99 dungeoneering, also on the 30th. Nicely done, everybody. And next week is the painful week. Well, it's not painful. We enjoy reading everybody's achievements in the huge wall of text of double XP achievements. All right. So you've been keeping this one close to your chest, and it's your pick of the week. What is your pick of the week for this week?
Well, there's this website that I purchased the domain name for a while ago, and I finally got around to setting it up. And that is ShaneSucks.org.
Really?
Click it.
It links to rsbnb.com. Well, thank you for the free advertisement to RSBNB. I appreciate it. And you went with a .org, too.
Yeah, because it sounds more official.
And would you care to clue the listeners into why this is a running joke?
Isn't that obvious? You suck.
Enough to do a podcast and, you know, have producers and to, you know, care about our listeners and hopefully. And you know what I hope this serves as? I hope this serves as a reminder out there to the listeners here at RSBNB. That we don't take each other seriously. That we don't take each other seriously here. And that, you know, despite you having that domain name now, it doesn't change the fact that I asked you to come on the show this week. And you have done an impeccable job at doing this. And so much so that, you know, your Legends episode that we did last month was actually really, really good. In terms of the reviews that it got. So despite the fact that Earth picked up this domain name, which I refused out of the name of, just know that he is very much appreciated here at RSBNB for everything that he does.
I want to point out to everyone listening that I'm so great. I just told this man he sucks, and he told me what a great person I am.
That's because we know it's endearing.
I have to admit that wasn't the reaction I was expecting from you. I'll take it.
Well, I mean, what else would you have me do? Would you have me, like, storm off and not do this show and say that you're being horribly abusive to the owner of the website?
Oh, nothing so dramatic. That sounds more like something I'd do. No, not even that.
Yeah, and you know, I think it also underscores what great friends we all are here, of course, too. So.
Yeah, dick. So what have you been doing, Shane?
Oh, I forget. No, I don't.
What?
I mentioned I finished Yak Track last week. If I didn't mention that on last week's show, I finished the Yak Track to TAS 50. Done. I have also, of course, been working a bit on the Clan Quest website. For those of you guys who might be interested in joining a good clan, just check us out in-game. Guest in the clan chat, Clan Quest. If you like it, ask one of the Silver Key ranks to join. But aside from that, you know, Mr. Ling suggests the beach. I say archaeology. I'm currently around 950 KXP away to 104 archaeology. I want to try and get 105 to complete Everlight before we do that lore episode. So that's what I've been up to. Still on the archaeology kick on RS. Really haven't been doing much else, and I'm surprised that I haven't got bored of it yet, honestly.
Yeah, it's well done.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. How about you?
Oh, lordy mercy. Just getting ready for the upcoming school year. We are doing a hybrid model, so...
Which I assume means some in class and some distance.
Correct.
All right. Hopefully that works out well, because, you know, I think in many cases... throughout the world,
many
jurisdictions, businesses, educational systems, and the like, are making it up as they go along, trying to figure out the best way to combat the pandemic, even as we've seen with Jagex on that. And, you know, I think the best we can hope for is that things turn out well at the end of the day on that front. So it's the textbook definition of uncharted waters, except with the virus, which is unfortunate. So,
woo!
I don't think there's anything...
Yeah, that's been...
Okay.
We're opening here in the next few days, so that's been what's occupying my time.
For most of July, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good, and some combination. Oh, I mean, it's better than not being here, right?
Is it?
Yeah. But I think we can wrap this episode of RSBNB Update and call it a day here. Some combination of Tanis or Sirion or somebody more competent than myself will be here next week. Oh, did I just say that? Boy, I guess that's subtle naming.
But you're about to say more competent than me, and we were about to have some words.
Why would I throw you under the bus like that?
I literally purchased a domain name that said you suck and redirected it to your website.
With that being said, if you guys want full show notes, visit update.rsbnb.com. For everything that we've talked about.
Make sure update.chainsucks.org goes there.
And if you want to subscribe to the podcast, just visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. You can subscribe on any number of podcast listeners out there, from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, even YouTube, practically anything under the sun at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
Bye.